Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Well, I want to welcome everybody to another episode of Blog Talk Radio. This is Five Smooth Stones coming at you again. You listen to Brother Seth. And tonight we have another very good relevant subject at hand. And I'm looking forward to talking about it. And that subject is the subject we're going to be discussing for the next 2 hours. Most I say the same. Is two types of success. One in fast money, the other in real love. And I know love might sound corny for us as far as the workplace, but that's how it all started. This so-called thing we call business today or being a professional, all of this has its roots in Judeo-Christianity. I don't like the word Christianity, but y'all know what I'm talking about anyway. In the Bible, two types of success. One in fast money, the other in real love. And we're going to talk about both. There are a lot of successful, so-called successful people. But according to Scripture, are they really successful? What is success? Bible talks about it, it addresses it. This show, this host, Five Smooth Stones, as y'all know, everything we do, everything we talk about, we try to base it from the Scriptures because you got to have a foundation. We know that the Bible is not a perfect book, meaning man has had his filthy hands on it, trying to tamper with it, take certain books out, add to certain books. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices as he worked through mankind. But we still believe that this book, there is a reason this book has gone under such transformations and why men have been tampered with it, because Satan knows there is truth in this book, this collection of books we call the Bible. And those truths that are in those books can transform lives. You don't have to take my word for it. Just look around the planet. Millions of people quote it. Millions of people claim it. And I don't think all of us are lying. So people have minds and brains and intuition and insight just like some of us who doubt this book. Why do we look over all these millions of testimonies, people that have been healed and mightily salvage from applying the principles of this book? I don't know. Why we want to just feel like we're good enough and smart enough to just abandon the whole book, I don't know. Again, this is Brother Seth. How's everybody? Hopefully everybody's doing well today. I mean that. I'm just sitting to just fill in the time here. I really wish the people that listen to this show and any other shows, I really wish you well. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk about the whole concept of love. What is it? When I say I wish you well, what am I really saying? So we're talking about love tonight. We're going to talk about charity. Some of you call it charity. Charity, love, same thing. So we're going to really get into this tonight, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm starting out in gear one, as some of y'all probably can tell. But believe you me, before it's over with, this is something I'm very passionate about. And I've been speaking about it for a mighty, mighty long time. I mean, I'm talking about this whole thing about businesses and how they are just so entrenched in deception and lies and how they just, it's all about money. Everything is about money with these corporations. So tonight, we'll talk about these corporations. And maybe some of y'all work at some of these places. And you can fill me in on how you feel about some of the practices you've seen. Because if you, like me, and been working for any length of time, y'all know some truly, truly, truly some wicked people out there in business. As a matter of fact, I think that's where Satan hides out in the business world. Just believe that's where he hides out. So tonight, I'm going to allow just a few more people to come. I'm going to play something where everybody pay attention to this song. As I say with any song I play, I don't waste time. Any song I play has a meaning. Any comments I say have a meaning. I just don't waste no time, none of your time, I should say. So anyway, I'm going to allow a few more people to come. Just want to say you might want to, and I know I say this every show, but for real tonight, please get a pen out. Please get a pen out and paper, maybe even a tape recorder, because I'm going to mention a lot of scriptures. I guarantee a lot of y'all haven't heard in a while, if you even heard it all, with regards to the finances and this fake prosperity we see all around us. We'll be right back after DMX raps, "Lord, Give Me a Sign." Be right back.
In the name of Jesus, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against me in judgment, thou shalt condemn.
Lord, give me a sign.
For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, said the Lord. Amen.
Lord, give me a sign.
I really need to talk to you, Lord. Since the last time we talked, the walk has been hard. Now I know you haven't left me, but I feel like I'm alone. I'm a big boy now, but I'm still not grown. And I'm still going through it. Pain and a hurt,
yeah.
Soaking up trouble like rain in the dirt,
yeah.
And I know only I can stop the rain with just a mention of my Savior's name.
In the name of Jesus,
devil, I rebuke you for what I go through and trying to make me do what I used to. But all that stops right here,
yeah.
As long as the Lord's in my life, I will have no fear. I will know no pain from the light to the dark.
Come
I will show no shame, spit it right from the heart.
Come
cause it's right from the start, you held me down and nothing they can tell me now.
Lord, give me a sign.
Let me know what's on your mind. Let me know what I'm gonna find. It's all in time. Show me how to teach the mind. Show me how to reach the blind.
Lord, give me a sign.
Show me what I got to do to bring me closer to you. Cause I'ma go through whatever you want me to. Just let me know what to do.
Lord, give me a sign.
Please show me something. I'm tired of talking to him, knowing he's threatened. Cry about life ain't nothing. But you either be the one mad cause you trapped or the one hunting.
Come on.
We're back. Again, this is Five Smooth Stones. You listen to Brother Seth, and tonight we're talking about two types of success. One in Fast Money, the other in Real Love. This is our topic for tonight, and I just want to thank everybody for joining me. I want to thank those of you that are already in the chat room, those of you already on the phone lines. It's good to be early. Tonight is a very serious conversation for me, and it's one of those conversations I didn't have to do a whole lot of, one of those topics I didn't have to do a whole lot of studying about, because I live it. I live it working at these corporations day in and day out, and I'm not fooled by their fake prosperity. All money isn't good money. All so-called success is not acknowledged by the Most High. Oftentimes people, and some of these things I'm going to say, I'm going to repeat them a little later on because we want to wait till more people come. But I'm going to go ahead and start those of you that's here early. You might get to hear a few things I might not repeat later, and that'll be to the loss of those that's late. So I know some people are coming that are not here yet. So anyway, we have got to look at what do we do to become successful. Who do we rob? Who do we have to step on? Are we stepping on people to become successful? Again, who do we step on to become successful? And I mean that so many people, I look at the whole rap game, and I just play DMX because I'm just trying to play it, give him love. I don't want y'all to think I hate rap, because I'm going to probably talk a lot about rap tonight, and that's one of the reasons I played that song. But even the very song I just played, you know, you heard him say, I'm going to make it wrong all right. I'm going to win because I fight. Something to that effect. I know I got the I'm going to make it wrong or right. That's the part I want you to focus on. Make it through the darkest night. And in the end, you'll see it's just God and me. You know, and I don't want to judge, you know, one particular artist, because DMX have put a lot of tracks out there giving the Most High praise. And only the Most High can judge where his soul lies. But tonight I'm not really judging people's soul as I am judging their actions. That's all we can judge is a person's actions. We don't know their heart. We don't know their heart. So speaking of actions, what we're going to do tonight is look at actions, judge actions, hold up, put the spotlight on these actions, and put the spotlight on scripture, put the spotlight on actions, then put the spotlight on scripture, then put the spotlight on actions, and just see that a lot of these companies, corporations, and so-called entertainers, a lot of them, who make the bulk of the money around here, seem like a lot of these people, their whole lives is about deception, lies, and ignorance. Their whole foundation for success is out of a lie. So what I'm saying is we got to really look at this and not be tricked and not promote this kind of thing. And don't have our children promoting this kind of a thing, because a lot of our children trust our words. They trust what we say. They trust our advice. And we're saying this person is successful and that person is successful. We got to be very careful how we talk about a lot of these entertainers, because if we're sitting up there and we're about to faint when they entertain, and we're jumping up and down, and I'm definitely guilty of this. We got to remember our children looking right at us, and that's what they think is a success. And unfortunately, a lot of parents these days and times have dropped the ball on this, because we really have taught our children that this is success. The way, you know, the Jay-Z's of the world and the Lil Wayne's of the world. And I'm not just going to pick on rappers, because everybody pick on rappers. Country music, it don't matter what genre, a lot of these people is just far out there, and they have no godliness about them in no shape, form, or fashion. They are sold out to ways outside of the ways of the Most High. Later on in this study, I'm going to read to y'all some scriptures, And some of y'all may be a little hurt by these scriptures because they don't come in. And I shouldn't say slap because it's the word. I don't think the Father would appreciate me saying slap. But it hits you so hard because we are so brainwashed by this American culture. And we just, this is all we know is this deception. You know, I think of the scripture that talks about Israel, the Israelites, how did they trust in oppression. The Bible says my people trust in oppression. And that's the way we are today. We trust in things that oppress us. We trust in things that rob us. We trust in things that deceive us. We trust in things that keep us ignorant. And that's where we're at. That's why it's so easy to control us. When I say us, I'm not just talking about so-called African Americans. I'm talking about humanity. The Bible says my people perish for lack of knowledge. So tonight, again, please, and I'll repeat this later for those who are going to be late because I don't want nobody to misunderstand me. Tonight, Brother Seth is speaking straight from experiences. I'll talk about some experiences I've had at these jobs. Just trying to make a living for my family, but being involved with some of the most decadent situations person can be in. And I just thank the Most High that, you know, I was able to see it for what it was and to step away. Sometime I was involved with it. Sometime I've been that deceiver, you know, working for these companies. You pick up their ways and their mentalities. And I've been guilty of saying, success, calling worldly success, godly success. And I've been guilty of that, folks. So tonight, it's just a time to look at our life as Americans, and just really begin to ask some questions that maybe some of y'all are not used to asking. And questions like, am I contributing to this American system? Am I part of this wickedness? Am I a part of this decadent society? Do I take it home with me? Do I teach my kids the ways of the Gentiles, the decadency, the ways of the wicked one, I should say? Am I promoting this evil kingdom that robs, steals, kills, and destroys? Am I willingly promoting? It's one thing to be in a system and fighting against it, you know, and knowing that one day the Most High is going to deliver you, and in the meantime trying to shed light to as many people as will hear you, and also, you know, stashing away little something for the day you come out of this system. That's one mentality. But to be in the system, boasting about you having a good job and boasting about you work for a good man, knowing that this whole, that the company and the revenues that are made by the company has nothing to do with you or your manager. And oftentimes these are some very wicked people with very wicked ideas, and they go out and cause all kind of fires, and so to speak. And then after you leave, your pastor go with y'all, with your church, your local assembly, if you are a church-going person. Or it may not be your pastor, it may just be agencies will go and try to put out these fires started by these companies. When I say fires, I mean just wickedness that these companies create. They create all type of evil environments, and then the church have to come and try to clean them up. So tonight, we're going to get more into that, more specifically. I'll get more specifically what I mean by that. And again, it's not tonight's show is aimed at any certain, no person, no people. You know, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. I mean nobody, no harm. I really don't. As a matter of fact, let's go on record right now, and everybody please know that Brother Seth has none in his heart but love for everybody that could possibly listen to this show. I mean, I really do care about people. And I really don't mean any harm to anybody, but this stuff hit me hard years ago when I began to wake up. I remember a song I listened to, and the name of that song is called Inside Look. And so I may try to see if I can find that song before we leave and maybe play it for you. But Inside Look was a song that really, really, really changed me. And it's actually rock and roll, and I'm not a rock and roll person at all. But this song was speaking about how this minister had, it's questions for not just the minister, for anybody. And it says, have you really taken that inside look? Are you hearing what your actions are saying? Not what you're saying out of your mouth, but are you hearing what your actions are saying? This is a song by Russ Taff. Some of y'all may know Russ Taff. He won some Grammys back in the day. And, again, it's a rock song. And I never thought I would be listening to this song, much less being convicted by it. And it ultimately changed my life. It really did change the way I looked at money, a song. Now, of course, the Most High was working with me, and I was running into all types of situations. Because when the Father loves you, the Bible says those He loves, He chastens. And He knew that I was going on the wrong track. I was on the prosperity bandwagon. And by the way, there is a such thing as prosperity. Don't think I'm against prosperity. I'm against the fake prosperity. I'm against this prosperity that really robs from people, not give to people, but it robs from people. It actually drives you from the Most High. Not drive you to the Most High, drive you from the Most High, cause you to blame the Most High, cause you to look for things He didn't say He would give you, cause you to expect some things He never promised you. And, of course, the Most High wants us, our needs to be met. And He even said in the Word, in the Scriptures, that if your ways please me, I will give you the desires of your heart. If your ways please me, I will give you the desires of your heart. Does that sound like a God that is not interested in your prosperity? Again, listen to the scripture. If your ways please me, He said, I will give you the desires of your heart. So the Father is looking for those that would just simply please Him. It's just that simple. Again, He said, if your ways please me, I will give you. She says, that's some scripture. So, one scripture says in Psalms 37:4, it says, delight yourself. Let me see it here. If I can pull up real quick. It says, delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Again, delight thyself in the Lord. What does delight mean? Just enjoy. Really get into who He is. And I know this is a being we've never seen. I understand that. Everybody say it. So y'all quote these verses. You know, some young people are probably thinking that. You know, y'all quote all these verses. How are you going to delight yourself in the Lord? And you don't even can't even see Him, you know? But I'm going to say it like this. We are a spirit having an experience in a body. You may think you can't please the Most High. It may seem like it's impossible, but it comes more natural than you think because we were first spirits. Then we was given a body. Again, Psalms 37:4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Lots of scriptures I'm going to be quoting tonight. To be exact, I have written down about 20 scriptures. I have not written down, but I have a list of about 20 scriptures. So I'll be sharing a lot of verses tonight just to put light on this deception that have gripped the whole world, this so-called success philosophy, ideology, deception that is driving people from the Most High, not to the Most High, that is driving from their brothers and sisters, not to their brothers and sisters. Now, there is a prosperity. There is a prosperity that the Bible says that you can have. And it says it like this. It say, I want to actually give y'all the scripture for this. I got a list of scripture, but I keep thinking scripture is not on the list. But there's a verse in Proverbs, I believe, that talks about how the Father will bless you, and he will not add any sorrow. Here it is, Proverbs 10 and 22. Proverbs 10 and 22. Listen to this, folks. This will bless you. Proverbs 10 and 22. It's talking about the blessings. Let me just go ahead and read it. I can hear some of y'all saying, just read it. I can just hear you in my spirit saying that. So I'm just go ahead and read again Proverbs 10 and 22. You should have it by now. All right. It said, the blessings of the Lord, the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. The blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow with it. There's all kinds of scriptures I'm going to share in a minute, in a little bit, that we'll talk about, and you'll see all kinds of sorrow added to it. You'll see the verses literally say how this particular wealth won't last. This particular wealth, you'll see, it'll talk about wealth that will be taken. This particular wealth, it says these people is going to see poverty again. Are they going to see poverty? And here they are. They're wealthy, but it says they're going to see poverty. So what is it talking about? So you will see in a little bit here that, again, I'm trying to lay a foundation before we get off all into this deeply. Also, I'm allowing just a few more people to come because I know there's more people that I expect to be here. So anyway, we're just laying a foundation. The Most High want us to always make sure that whatever we do on this planet, it is soaked in love for humanity. We are supposed to base our life out of love. If what we're doing and saying does not promote love for all people, then we are in the wrong. Now, some of y'all may say, well, y'all may hear something and say it's not love, but if it's truth, if it's truth, I don't care how, sometimes truth can sound stranger than fiction. Sometimes truth can sound arrogant. Sometimes the truth can sound all kind of way. I mean, let me give you an example. Supposing somebody is, trying to figure out a nice way to say this because I don't want to offend nobody that might have been raised up in the foster care system. But supposing you found out in one day that your parents is not your true parents, that all your life, basically, some people have been loving you and supporting you and taking care of you, but they are not your biological family. There is no way to break that down in a nice way. You can say it soft. You can say it quietly. You cannot say it at all and just put it in writing. There is no way to say that and it not be offensive. Try to share that somebody's loved one has passed. There is no way to say that in a nice, sound, soft way. Somebody's passed means somebody has passed, and it's not going to be easy saying it. That's how truth is. Now, here at Five Smooth Stone, we talk about five topics. And these five topics we talked about, they're very offensive, some of them. When you start talking about the origin of white skin, I know how it sounds. It sounds very offensive, very disrespectful. But there is no way to share that in a loving manner. I mean, there is no way to share that that's not going to hurt somebody's feelings, especially if you've been taught all your life that everything originated from white people. There is no way in the world you can share that to some of our so-called white brothers and sisters, and I say so-called because y'all know I don't believe in a white person or a black person. We are just people with different degrees of melanin. I don't acknowledge the white race, don't acknowledge the black race. I acknowledge people divided only based upon regional differences, or nations, nationalities. I only acknowledge nationalities, nations, and there's only 70 of those, 70 nations. Keep in mind that Amalekites are no longer around, so there's only 69 technically. This is only the only nations the Most High acknowledged. He don't acknowledge all 200 nations. Every time somebody grab a group of men and tanks and bombs and they go and take a land, Most High don't go, oh, okay, I see you now. I see you. I'll write your name down. You're a new nation. No, there's only 70 nations. So having said that, I'm telling y'all, we are going to base our actions in love. When I say we, I mean I am going to base my actions in love, especially with as we talk about this tonight. So the first scripture I want to bring up, just want to go through these scriptures, and then we'll talk about them, okay? We just want to go through them first, and then we'll just stop and talk about them. It says, for the needy, this is Psalms 9:18, Psalms 9:18. I'm telling you, I'll write this down. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall perish forever. Okay. Actually, that wasn't one of the scriptures. We want to stick more to the prosperity aspect. So please ignore that particular script, even though there's some good word, a good word there. Here is the scripture I was talking about, looking for. Psalm 37:7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass, meaning the Most High, let's reread the whole thing again. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. That is talking about a man. I was looking at the scripture, and it's what happened. He tried to do three things here at one time. But this is a man who is bringing wicked devices to pass. This is a man who is prosperous in his way. And the Bible talks about fret not thyself because of him. That whole chapter, actually, I should have cut and pasted the whole chapter, because this whole chapter is basically saying the Most High is going to avenge them. Let's just turn over to it, because I don't want y'all to think I'm half quoting some here. Let's look real briefly at Psalms 37. Y'all will see what I'm saying here. Let's see if I can find this real quick. Psalms 37. Bear with me here, because I want y'all to get an idea of what the Most High said he would do to the wicked. Now, we're not punishing anybody that has been successful at all. If you're truly successful, we're just looking at tonight what is success, and are what we call success, what the Most High calls success. Psalms 37 reads like this. Fret not thyself because of the evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Number 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Again, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. We read that earlier. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Talking about the desires of your heart. Listen to this, verse 6. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers, here's the main scripture, for evildoers shall be cut off. For evildoers shall be cut off. For those that wait upon the Lord, that don't mean wait like waiting around, but serve like a server. But those that serve upon the Lord, or serve the Lord, wait upon the Lord, it's like a server serve someone. Those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. There is that little while, though, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. So, tonight, and we're getting there, but I'm trying to get more into the nuts and bolts of how you're supposed to pursue wealth. What is true wealth? And before this show is over with, we will have laid that foundation. We will have made that very clear. The scriptures will have made it very clear. What is true wealth and how do you get it? One thing we know for sure is that wealth gotten in haste, as the show description said, I put that out there for all y'all to read. One thing we know for sure is that wealth gotten in haste, hands will not be innocent. Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. But he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. So as we see, fast money, you will not be innocent. Again, fast money. The hands that make fast money will not be innocent. This is why I have such a beef with the rap industry. Again, I don't want to just pick on rap because they're not the only industry that is pursuing fast money. But they are probably by far the most popular industry right now in terms of music genres, where there is this thirst and greed for just fast money. So, having said that, I just wanted to share with everybody that, again, the Most High is not trying to, I'm not saying that the Most High is saying that we can't be wealthy. And y'all bear with me, because I got a lot of nuggets, and I'm a little puzzled as to which way to go with it, because I have so much ammunition, it's unreal. Speaking of ammunition, let me just share with you another verse real quick. Proverbs 28 and 22, which I also put on the show description. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye. Did y'all hear that? He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and consider it not that poverty shall come upon him. Now, some of y'all might say, I don't know about that scripture, because I know people that rush to be wealthy and they live and die very wealthy. Well, either the scriptures are true or it's not. If you look at a lot of these people that have gotten fast money, be it in real estate or be it in music or be it in whatever the product or service we're talking about, in order to get some fast, you have got to let certain areas of your life go. And when you suffer in those areas of your life that you're no longer paying attention to, my friend, isn't that a type of poverty? Isn't it a type of poverty if you become a Fortune 500 guru, tycoon, and your children hate you? Isn't a type of poverty if you become successful financially? And that's what we're talking about tonight, money. How to get it the right way, how to get it the wrong way, what the Most High, what the Bible has to say about both ways. And again, we're not hating on people that are successful, truly successful. We're just simply sharing scriptures tonight because I believe the reason I'm doing this show is I believe that in the end, there's a lot of pain for those of us that pursue money the wrong way. There's a whole lot of broke people that's pursuing money the wrong way and is suffering the same way people are wealthy and pursuing the wrong way are suffering. If we don't have this thing and understand that the love of this thing called money is truly, truly, truly the root of all evil, the love of this thing called money is truly the root of all evil. And these verses I'm going to share that I've only just got started. It's going to appear like the Bible might be contradicting itself. Like I said, a lot of people got fast money and they died and they were still loaded. So the Bible says that they was going to come up on poverty. So did it lie? Did it trick us? Is the book worth trusting? I believe those people died very poor if they got that money fast. Because when you try to be a good father, if you have children, a good husband, if you have a wife, you know, and you do the things you're supposed to do, just as a man, as a woman, with your society, with your neighborhood. I'm not saying you got to be, a Martin Luther King Jr., but then again, I'm not saying some of y'all won't be. I'm just saying when you do right and do take care of your business, I'm not talking about just money, take care of the things that the Most High have entrusted you with is what I meant to say. You're going to find that money is going to come about slow, but it will come about the right way. If you do it in love, it's going to be slower than this other kind of fast money. Now, how slow is slow? How fast is fast? I can't answer that. It's a case-by-case thing. Again, when we're doing the right things by our families, taking care of ourselves health-wise, and the time we have to spend for making money, and it shouldn't be about making money. Remember, the Bible says it should be about serving people. We shouldn't even say the term really making money. We should say serving people. When you serve enough people, they're going to turn around and reward you. And when you serve enough people, and all these books like The Millionaire Next Door and The Greatest Sales in the World, all these books know what I'm saying. And actually they said it years and years before I even was born. But a lot of these successful companies that get their wealth the right way, they understand this principle. So Brother Seth tonight is not knocking true prosperity. We've got to have our actions just drenched in love and respect for all people. If we're not loving people and respecting people and trying to serve them, as one scripture says, let every man look upon another, the wealth of another man. If we're not doing that, it says, labor not to be rich. Let me just find that real quick. Because that's another scripture. I don't even have that one wrote down because I got so many others. But this is another one just came to my mind. It says, labor not to be rich. Right there at the y'all off. Labor not to be rich. Check this out. When everybody in the Bibles, those who got your Bibles out, turn to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23:4. 23:4. This is what it says. It says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Another translation says, do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it. That's the New American Standard Version. Not a fan of that one. Here's another translation. American Standard Version says, weary not thyself to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Okay? And they're, again, worrying and stressing. I mean, for real. If you're going to worry and stress, that's torment. Y'all know that. You don't need me to tell you that. Next verse, just to make sure we got the whole full thought of it. It says, wilt thou set thine eye upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle towards heaven. So mainly what I'm saying tonight is, there are two prosperities, two roads to take you to gold, so to speak. One of them is the road where the wealth comes by slower. One of them is the road where the wealth comes a little slower than the other. Okay? And then the other is a road where the wealth comes really fast. But as we've read two scriptures today that said, when you pursue money in a hasteful manner, you will not be innocent. And as the one scripture said, Proverbs 28:22 said it best when it says, he that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye. We can just stop right there. But let's not. It went on to say, and consider not that poverty shall come upon him. So these are just two scriptures I've shared out of God, about 20 more. And I want y'all to be writing this down. It's very, very important. Okay? I want to say this. You know, a lot of times, I've been talking about this, especially to my friends in Cincinnati. I talk about this all the time on the radio when I would call in. And then sometimes I was there at the station and I would still make these comments. And there's so many people that think I'm against prosperity. I'm against folks having money. I'm against folks doing well for themselves. We need prosperous people. We need somebody, include myself, for sure, to get this the right way, to become prosperous the right way. Because the kingdom, the Bible says that the Father has allowed us to be wealthy, that a blessing of us to be wealthy, and he may establish his kingdom. Okay? Most High has, again, I'm going to say that again because some of y'all probably didn't get that. One scripture put like this, it's the Lord that giveth thee the power to get wealth. Let me just find that real quick for y'all. Again, I have other scriptures. And I'll keep thinking of these scriptures that I didn't even think of earlier. But as I go down this road, different things come to me. But talk about the Lord giveth thee the power to get wealth. Some of y'all know exactly where I'm going with this. But we need people to be wealthy, okay? So they can help establish the kingdom of the Most High.
We need people to have money so we can go all over the world and spread the good news about the Father's love.
And it's Deuteronomy 8:18. It says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swear unto thy fathers." And this is what I was saying earlier. The Father is establishing things upon the earth. He needs people to be in position of power. Everybody can't be just making it, barely making it. I mean, it's nice to have your needs met, but we have got to be able to be, somebody's got to be wealthy. I do believe that somebody has to be a billionaire or possibly a millionaire. But unlike Creflo Dollars of the World, not picking on Creflo, I do believe he's a man of the Most High. But I disagree with him and Kenneth Copeland and many other people that believe that the Most High want all of us millionaires. I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. As a matter of fact, they say that the United States, all of this wealth and all of this, all of the demands that we put on nature to build and to build and to build, all of these demands we put on trees and the forest, cutting them down for our way of life, all of these demands we're putting on the raw minerals of the world to meet our demands and our way of life, they say is wreaking havoc upon the planet. And we're just, what, 300 million people? Can you imagine if the Creflos and Kenneth Copelands and all these prosperity preachers are right? That would mean India, if they turn to the Most High, he would want them to have the same quality of life we got. And remember, some of us thinking we ain't got enough. But just where we're at right now as a nation, everybody just not get another dime. The demands that we're making on the planet to keep up with our way of life, to keep these same amount of cars, same amount of homes, same amount of all of the luxuries that the United States have, they're saying it just, there's too much demands we're putting on the planet, this one country. Not to mention the EU, the European Union, not mentioning Japan, just the United States. So can you imagine a country three times bigger than the United States, bigger than three times, talking about India and China, if they all turn to the Most High, and don't forget about China, China is the same thing, if they turn to the Most High, they would destroy the planet. If we're destroying the planet, we're just one nation because of all this stuff. Imagine when they get what we got. And according to Creflo them, they're saying a lot of us is poor. We're not at levels where we should be. And I do agree a lot of us lack. But what I'm saying, folks, if all of the church people in these churches begin to start walking in that kind of wealth that these, a lot of these prosperity preachers say is ours, and then India say, well, we want the same thing, so we're going to obey the Most High. We're going to do the same thing. And China said the same thing. If what Creflo them is saying, it would destroy the planet. But I don't believe that if India and China had the kind of relationship with the Most High that he wanted, that it would destroy the earth at all. I just think what these ministers are calling prosperity and what the Most High is calling prosperity is two different worlds. I do think that the Most High don't want none of us to lack. I don't believe in lack. I don't believe in not being able to pay your bills. I don't believe in not having Medicare to take care of your family. When I say Medicare, I mean being able to take care of. Let me say it another way, because I don't want y'all to think I'm talking about the government. I do believe that you're supposed to have enough medical to be able to care for your family. Simple and plain. Simple and plain. Medically, we're supposed to be able to, you know, take care of our families. And I just think that this is where I think they're right. there, meaning the Creflo and the Kingdom Copas of the world, they're 100% right. We're supposed to have enough of that. We're supposed to have enough to be able to give. This is how you know if you got enough. Can you help somebody else out? So I agree with them on that 100%. And I always have. But I also have seen the other side. It's a very dark world when I see other people that are looking for the Most High to do something he never said, never promised, and they get hurt. They become devastated because what the Most High, what they think the Most High said, he didn't say. Let me give a case in point. A lot of people, and folks, I'm telling you, I live this, so I don't know what to say. I mean, I lived it. Can't argue with somebody that don't lived it, right? I mean, I remember when I had this infatuation for castles because I like castles. I like looking at all the castles in Europe. I really studied them at one point. And I felt like, man, this is the cream de la cream, as my friend would say in Cincinnati. This is the top of the line. You can't get no more top than a castle for a place to live. I mean, you just can't get no higher. And I also believe that you can take that castle, and not unlike the kings of Europe, you can glorify the Most High with it. You know, it's a multi-room mansion. And, you know, there's castles that only have like 50 rooms, and there's castles that have 200 rooms. But there are smaller castles, really nice, kind of remote. I mean, just beautiful. I mean, I had just an infatuation with castles. I had them on my walls. And I just felt like one day that the Most High would bless me to be able to own a castle to where I would have it. Obviously, he's not into greed, so I figured, well, we will have a obviously, he's going to bless me to be able to have people there. And I know some of y'all probably laugh and think it's funny because you're saying a castle. That's right, a castle. See, the way we were taught back in the day was whatever you named or claimed, you can have it. And it was okay by the Father. But the song, one of the songs, well, the song that really opened my eyes, and there was a lot of attempts to open my eyes by different people and different sermons and different, but this song did it. And I'm going to give you the words of this song. Again, it's by Russ Taff. I was talking about it earlier, and it's called Inside Look. And it goes like this. He has his good intentions, high finance dreams. He's going to build a kingdom doing his gospel thing. He says he hasn't really changed. It's all for the sake of the dream. Doing what he has to do to justify his means. When did it all start to change? Compromise for the dollar's sake. And then the background comes in and says, oh, Lord, don't let us waste our life trying to fulfill self-serving dreams, religious schemes. And, Lord, don't let us lose our soul in spite of what we really mean, honesty, Lord. It says, Lord, help us to be, help us to have integrity. But then the second verse comes on and says, now he's sitting behind this big old desk and he's talking on the phone, spinning wheels, making deals. Just see how far he's come. And it goes and says, he hasn't really changed it all for the sake of dream, doing what he has to do to justify his mean. But that song got to me because when somebody says they're trying to win souls or they're going to use their prosperity or their large house or their many cars to promote the kingdom, nobody say anything to them. They're going to use all this money to feed the poor, nobody say nothing to them. They're going to use this big old house to bring in orphans or, you know, somehow some boys home, nobody say nothing to them. They're going to glorify God, they say, with this, nobody say nothing to them. But I remember one time, that was one encounter I had. Inside Look was the major thing that brought me out. But before Inside Look, I had a dream, and the Most High again trying to rescue me from this deception. I had a dream, and in this dream, I want y'all to listen to this. This is a real deal Holyfield story right here. I had this dream, and in this dream, I was wealthy. I know y'all saying, what? In this dream, I was wealthy. And it was a real dream. Not something you have a dream, and when you wake up, you feel like, wow, that was real. I mean, this dream is not like a lot of dreams where you wake up and just remember it and go, oh, that was weird. Wonder what does that mean? No, this was one of those dreams you wake up and you felt it. I was wealthy. I was wealthy. I was wealthy. I felt the pain. I felt the stresses. I felt the anxieties. I felt the blessings. I felt the good feelings, the bad feelings. I felt the responsibility of managing your wealth. I felt the responsibility of having people under you and delegating authority and having your monies and different investments and protecting your money and the thought pattern that I was wealthy. And I remember in the dream, I told the Most High, I said, Father, I want to be a blessing to some ministries. And I remember naming some names, and I said, I want to give this person, you know, just $1 million. And this person, I want to give maybe $400,000 to, and this and that. Had all laid out. And then when I woke up, never will forget this, folks. Y'all listen to this. Please don't miss this. The question came to me, how do you know that that person that you want to bless with $1 million can handle it? You can give $1 million to somebody that can't handle it, and you can mess up their whole life. You can cause them to get off track. Everybody can't handle $1 million. I don't care who they are, Billy Graham, I don't care who they are. Everybody cannot handle a gift of $1 million. It would turn strong people away from the faith because the Most High is in their life and He is giving them wealth as they are faithful. He's like a father. He's giving them a little bit at a time as they mature, as they mature, as they mature. There you are going to walk up to him like a lotto and just dump all this money on him. And just like the lottery, you ruin lives. Just because people are smiling and they got a bigger house because they won a lottery don't mean that they are a success. Folks, I cannot tell y'all what that did to me. I'm trying to remember what else happened in that dream, but that pretty much was that. Just telling y'all, that right there just takes me back. Y'all got to bear with me because, I mean, that was something. Because we always talk about giving money to the poor, and I will give this person a home and buy this person a home. I'm telling y'all, money in some families will ruin the family. Money in some families will ruin the family. If you have in your Bibles, if you have your Bible still out, hopefully you do, and you're recording this, some of y'all. Listen to this. Proverbs 10:22. Now, I think I mentioned this earlier, but I got to say this again. It said, like I said earlier, the blessings of the Lord, it make it rich, and he added no sorrow. Do you want to be one of those persons that work all your life for this fast money, robbing from Peter to play ball, robbing from your children, time with your children, never going to their recitals, never seeing them, sports, never there for them, for their football and basketball, their games? Are you there very little? You're there, you're not really there, because you're watching, you're getting phone calls, and your secretary is there with you, and she's constantly, I mean, you never leave the office. Or you may be one of those persons, it may not be a child, maybe your wife, you don't never have time for her, no way. Or maybe it's yourself. You ain't never, ever, ever got time for yourself. You ain't sat in the park and just notice the birds and notice the earth that the Most High put you on. You just don't have time for nature. You don't have time to experience the smaller things in life, just to really get a grip on what this is all about, this experience. Or maybe you don't even have time to even take care of your own hygiene, your own body. Not hygiene, but you just don't have time to really eat the right things because, again, making that fast money. And you, at the end of your road, or even at the middle of your road, you realize none of these people know you now. They all are grown or growing up, and you didn't build that relationship. And all you got to show for it is this money. You know, kids have a way of telling you what to do with that money. And some of these wives or husbands. I don't know about y'all, but I just don't want to be one of those persons that look back over my life and have built something and that's all I got. This is that wealth that added sorrow. So let's just go on and read some other scriptures here. Psalm 37 is a very good chapter on wealth. Okay, very good chapter on wealth. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. One more time. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. So let's imagine that a righteous man who is doing right by the Father, by his taking care of his family, taking care of his children, taking care of his wife, he's there for him, a good marriage. And they have issues, but for the most part, things are well. And then we're going to compare him to 15 billionaires. And y'all know that man would be a joke. But this Bible verse says in Psalms 37:16, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Because in the end, when you put all 17 of them in the ground, the 16 wicked, and I picked 16 because it said many. And the one righteous, you put him in the ground. The righteous man will be the wealthy man because his name will not be forgotten. Meaning his children will keep it on, going on and on. Psalms 37:18. Again, Psalm 37 is a good book on prosperity. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Here's a good one. It's Proverbs 3:13-16. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it, that's the merchandise of wisdom and the merchandise of understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof of fine gold. She, speaking of wisdom and understanding, she is more precious than ruby, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Let me say it again. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Her who? Wisdom. And actually, it's talking about understanding, because it starts off saying, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Then it goes on to say, she is more precious than rubies, and all things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. See, the Most High is about riches. He is not on no poverty kick. The Most High is about riches. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. That's Proverbs 3:13-16. Proverbs 22:16. This is a good one. He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. Let me repeat that. He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. These are two different people. He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, that's one person. And he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. So I'm going to say, what's wrong with giving to the rich? The rich I already have. Suppose the scripture commands us to give to the poor. Labor not to be rich. Proverbs 23:4-5. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. With thine wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as the eagle towards heaven. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon things which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as the eagle toward heaven. Proverbs 23:4-5. Here's another scripture. I told y'all I was going to give y'all a lot of scriptures tonight. Y'all thought I was just kidding. For riches are not forever. And doeth the crown, and doeth the crown endure to generation. Let me read that again. For riches are not forever, and doeth the crown endure to every generation. The crown is not going to be around forever. And doeth the crown endure to every generation. That's Proverbs 27:4. Proverbs 27:4. Listen to this one. Here's a good one. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Proverbs 28:6. Again, better is he that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Proverbs 28:6. Again, I'm sharing these scriptures just showing you how the Most High look at wealth, how the Most High look at, and it looks almost like he's against wealth, but he's not if you really listen. Talks about that if you delighted yourself in the Most High, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Talks about if you had understanding earlier, if y'all read that, it talks about you tend to be rich. We read that, it said riches is in one of her hands. So Most High is not on a poverty kick. He's not trying to just cause us to suffer and never have enough and always trying to teach us something by taking stuff away from us. Only certain kind of people talk like that. So I'm not on that kick, for real. Poverty is of Satan because poverty oppresses. The enemy wants us sick, and the enemy wants us ignorant, and the enemy wants us broke. So I'm definitely not down with the enemy. Proverbs 28:8. He that by usury and unjust gain increases his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. Let me repeat that. He that by usury, I don't know why I can't read tonight. He that by usury and unjust gain increases his substance, he shall gather it for him that will pity the poor. That's Proverbs 28:8. So it's saying that anybody using usury and unjust gain that increases their substance or their portion shall gather it from he that will pity the poor. In other words, the person that pity the poor, this is the person that's going to have. And those that try to get wealthy through unjust means is going to find himself getting it from somebody that's been blessed who pitied the poor. Proverbs 28:8. Here's another one. Proverbs 28 is another good chapter for prosperity. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. We talked about that earlier. Fast money, fast money, fast money. And here's an even clearer one. We talked about this one earlier. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye. And consider it not that poverty shall come upon him. That's about my fifth time reading that one. That's a good one, y'all. That's a good one. Better is a handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. Whoa, that's a good one. Ecclesiastes 4:6. Better is a handful with quietness than both the hands with travail and vexation of spirit. Ecclesiastes 4:6. My goodness, my goodness. That was a good one. Ecclesiastes 5:10. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. I got to read that again. That's Ecclesiastes 5:10. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. The scripture says it. Let me go ahead with this, and then I'm going to give you another scripture. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. Again, that's Ecclesiastes 5:10. But I was thinking of a scripture that says this. Many of you, and I've taught my son and daughter this forever, I talk about this all the time. The Bible says, love not the world. Okay? Neither the things that are in the world. I'm talking about 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, nor things
in the world. I often teach my children that we don't have no business looking nothing in the world. Nothing, nothing, nothing. We're not supposed to love nothing in this world but people. That's all we're commissioned to love is people. Are y'all listening to me? I'm going to read that entire verse here. This is, again, 1 John 2:15. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So what is Brother Seth talking about tonight? I'm just sharing different scriptures, sharing a different light on wealth. I do believe we've been deceived. I do believe that we call ourselves worshiping the Most High, but in fact, we have, in many cases, sold out and is worshiping Satan himself, worshiping the God of this world, worshiping mammon, and we don't have the love of the Father at all. Again, I just read, I'm going to read it again. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We have no business loving no thing. We're supposed to love the Creator, love ourselves, and love our neighbor. This is all we are to love in this experience called life. If we find ourselves loving things, watch this. We would do anything, but anything, to people to get the thing we love. I'm going to say it again. If you love things, let's say you love a beautiful car, and you don't love people, that means you will walk over people, mistreat people for that car. And that's exactly what a lot of these so-called professional companies or a lot of these companies are about. A lot of these people that call themselves professionals are about. They are all about the bling bling, and they will step over people. They will use people. They will cause your family to suffer. They will cause you. So you'll look up one day, you will not have spent no time with your family, with your children. That have you sacrificing your children to something called babysitters, who are people that don't have no bond with your children in most cases. And if they do, that's a shame, because they're supposed to be bonding with you. So I know that a lot of us have to work on these jobs, and we have to be there to provide for our family. I'm not in any way knocking that at all. I believe in that. But I'm just saying, when you find yourself having to work in these ungodly places and, you know, around people that worship things and love things, you just have to have, I think, the mentality that I'm only here for a while. The Most High is going to move me one day. And just know that there is going to come a time where he is going to possibly move you. I don't think the Most High want his people serving Pharaoh all their life. I just don't believe that. I don't believe that he wants us being a Joseph all our lives. I do think there is a season where we'll come up under Pharaoh, we'll help the Pharaoh prosper the Pharaoh for a season. But I think while the Pharaoh is prospering, we're supposed to be putting back prosperity for ourselves, for our family. On that day, it's time to come out up under Pharaoh. We're supposed to be looking for the day. We're supposed to understand this is not our destination, serving Pharaoh in Egypt. And I'm just keeping it real. If I'm talking about a wicked setup. Now, I know those Egyptologists, don't y'all triple me on this Egypt thing. I'm talking about when Egypt wasn't walking upright. We have record of Egypt actually defeating Israel, the Israelites, because Most High was with Egypt. I think this is when King Josiah fell. You know, he had turned and had beef with Egypt, and the priest was telling him not to, and the Egyptians actually defeated Israel. Y'all probably ain't read that part of the Bible, but that's how Josiah fell. Otherwise, he was a good king. So all I'm saying is, if you find yourself working around people like this, that's one thing. But some of y'all are the people I'm talking about. You know, you serve the Most High. You know the way, and yet you are entrenched in this society. You're just entrenched in this society of decadence, worshiping things, loving things. You say, I love this, I love that. And we are only commissioned, again, to love people. So tonight I'm just taking the time out to try to divide between the, and I'm not done reading scriptures, so just taking a break for a second. But got a lot more scriptures to read, a lot more scriptures to reference in regards to this whole two different types of prosperity, two different types of success. One based in love, the other one based in fast money and greed. So that's what we're talking about tonight, two different types of success. One based in love and true service to your fellow brethren, and that wealth that comes from your brother and your sisters are supporting you, and they will make you wealthy. No joke about that. They will make you wealthy when you serve people. But this wealth comes slow. It's not even slow. It just comes at the pace as the Most High, as we mature as children, the Most High rewards. It's just like we do with our own sons and daughters as they behave and follow the rules. We give them more and more responsibility. And I think that's what the Most High is doing. He blesses us as we mature. Okay, but when you go about the other success, the fast money, the greed, you don't take nobody's character into consideration. It's all about money. You do things to make money. A lot of these corporations are very gifted. They'll do whatever it takes. If it means firing people, if it means lying on you and say you did this when you didn't, if it means just looking for any excuse. I remember when American Airlines, which is one of the main reasons I'm not there now. I know the Most High blessed me there, but I have to believe that he allowed the situation to move me on to better things. But I remember they was downsizing. And they at first gave everybody a warning to basically leave the company. And people weren't moving. So then they start offering packages to get people moving. And then some people, a lot of people took the packages, you know, from money to free travel, just different things they did. And then after a while, they didn't take the packages. They started getting rid of people that had been there 30, 40 years. We've never caused no trouble. They just start firing people left and right. This is what I mean by people doing anything and everything for the sake of greed. Y'all might say, well, they tried to get you to go. You know, it wasn't me, first of all. But I'm just saying that's a small, innocent situation. It's not innocent, but that's a small situation compared to a lot more things I can go into. I'm not going to use my time to go too deep into that. All I'm going to say is, y'all know, like I know, these corporations, they don't care about you. They don't care about your family. They don't care about your daughter or your son that on the football team or whatever they're doing at that school. They don't care about those kids. I mean, I'm just talking about most corporations. They don't. And even there may be some people in place at the corporation in upper management that do care, but they don't have the kind of pull to change this whole big ship. You know, you can't change it, turn a ship on a dime, and they can't change the way things is at that corporation. So there are some time on these jobs we'll run into people that actually do care. But the way the system is designed, it's all designed for money. Anytime money is the bottom line, money is the profit, money is the foundation. Y'all know what that means. Love of money is, like we said earlier, is the root of all evil. So what do you do when you see scriptures like we've read tonight? Labor not to be rich. Okay? What do you do? What do you do? How do you pursue money? How do you pursue success? So many people are striving to be success. So many people are striving to be millionaires and be billionaires, and a lot of them, they really do mean well. They just want to help their family, and just one second, let me do one thing here. Tell you what, let me just get I need to find one other thing I want to talk about, and while I'm doing that, I'm just going to go ahead and just play off a little something I want. I've been trying to keep forgetting to do this on the show. This is with regards to money. This is a commercial talking about buying gold. A lot of people have been hearing about different things that's going to hit our country in the very near future with regards to the dollar and the dollar falling and what that means to you and your family. This is a commercial
by some reliable people, I believe, letting us know, giving us some insight on what we can do so we won't be affected by mismanagement by other upper people in the government and in Wall Street. We won't be affected by Wall Street greed. So here is some insight on what to do with money, where we won't have to pay for other people's greed. This very conversation I'm talking about, you have people that were so greedy that caused the country to be in a very awkward situation to where the dollar is forecasted to fall, and lots of people's going to lose millions and millions. There already have been people that have lost a lot of money, but it's not like what's supposed to happen in guess what year? 2012. So here's a quick little commercial about that, and we'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. Jason Lewis here once again. These are hard times for investors. If you're like me, you just don't know where to put your money because there's a downside to every possible scenario. Now, look, every portfolio needs a hedge for inflation. Gold has been the classic. I want to tell you, I want to be honest with you, commodities fluctuate, so you could lose money. Gold goes up and down. But every stable portfolio usually has an inflation hedge, and gold is, well, the gold standard. Washington is not going to get us out of this recovery. So you've got to protect yourself. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but it's lost a lot of its value since then. Call Midas Resources today, 1-800-686-2237. 2237 for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
I didn't mean to let that play that long. Anyway, we're back. Again, you listen to Five Smooth Stones of Success. Tonight about two types of success. One, with being fast money. One, being in fast money, totally entrenched in greed, and the other in real love and service to your fellow brother and sister. Two types of success. Okay? And believe me, folks, there are people successful, so-called successful people, these two different types of ways. So what do you do? What do you do? How do you look at it? I mean, really, how do you look at it? What do you pursue? So tonight we're talking about how the Most High really need us to be successful the right way. He can't use poverty. Can't use people that don't have enough. Believe me. He can't use people that can't give to others. He can use anybody. I'm saying that wrong. But it's limited. It's limited what we can do when we don't have enough. It's limiting what we can do when we can't even feed somebody outside of our family. So the Most High is definitely interested in more than just our four, no more. So tonight, Brother Seth is just sharing the great news that the Most High is interested in prosperity. A lot of people is down on prosperity, and I can understand why, because we've had some deception running rampant in the church where people is talking about this other kind of prosperity, where the Most High want all of us rich, and I don't believe that. That lie is causing more pain than probably anything in the church, because a lot of people are believing that hook, line, and sinker, and they're looking for the Most High to bless them with a business or to bless them with wealth. And when it hasn't come after a certain amount of time, they start doubting the Bible. I don't know why they don't doubt the minister, but a lot of times they just doubt the Bible because they feel like that's what I read in the Bible. When he said, is the Lord to give thee power to give wealth, that he may establish his covenant, you got to understand, what is his covenant? And who was that scripture to in the first place? I mean, you got to look at all of this and look at the people in the Bible. There wasn't as many powerful people like Elijah and his servant, Elisha, and Ezekiel and Daniel and Obadiah and Jonathan, Michael and Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, all of these prophets, were they millionaires? If anybody needed to be, don't you think Elijah would have needed to be a millionaire? Don't you think Paul needed to be a millionaire versus running around making tents? But you do have the Jobs out there that was stacked, I mean loaded with money. So if the Most High want us all wealthy like some ministers are preaching, and we can barely hear his voice, and we barely can remember to pray sometime, here were men that the Bible says they had the Most High's heart. They had a heart after. These prophets had a heart after the Most High. You would think they would have been the richest of their time. I don't buy it at all. I think the Most High want our needs met. What are the needs? Place to stay. I mean a nice place to stay. I mean a place where it's the place is not going to harass you just staying there. And like living outdoors under the trees with I can't say that, I'm not going to say that, because there's actually some people in Africa that do live outside under trees, and they're just fine. So I would say whatever for wherever you live in your culture, it's going to be equivalent to a nice home. And I know we can debate about what is a nice home, but just no greed, not rooms that you never, like Missy Elliott say she had rooms that she had a room that she haven't even been in her home. That was a while back. I'm sure she has by now. But I remember this day when she was taking a tour of a house and showing some people around, and she made the comment that there was this particular room. I think she did more than one that she hadn't even been in. It wasn't that new of a house. She had been there for a while. So, and, you know, some of y'all women have hundreds of pairs of shoes you never worn. This mess is just crazy. It's just crazy. Because what we don't realize is we say, oh, I just buy these shoes. It's just a hobby I have. But what you don't realize is a lot of women do just what you did, and that has created a demand upon the shoe market, which has created a demand upon the manufacturers of shoes, which has created a demand upon those different things, the materials they need, and that's when it gets wicked, because they go to other nations, and a lot of time they take, you know, whether it's deforestation, where they're cutting down trees out of the forest, and y'all know how bad we need trees just for oxygen and all types of things in the environment. So we have this spirit upon this country where we are just wreaking havoc upon this planet, all because we want 100 pair of shoes or 5 cars or a big elaborate house that nobody go in this particular room or we don't use this side of the house, or we only use this room when certain members are over. We got all this excess, and I'm not talking about probably to the average one of us, because probably anybody in the sound of my voice may not have this kind of lifestyle, but there are millions of people that do. And because there's millions, they have made a demand upon the resources of the planet. And I know beyond a shadow of doubt, because of this, the Most High can't and don't want India and China and all the nations of the world to become prosperous the way these ministers are saying and have what we got. Because if they did, they would destroy the planet. We're doing it. We're doing it right now. We can't afford another America on the continent, on the planet, much less two or three or four or five or six or seven more countries making these kind of demands. And if India did take note and believe what these preachers are saying and begin to be prosperous American style, they're not just going to do the damage we're doing to the country, to the world. They're going to do three times that, because they're three times greater than our population. China, the exact same thing. So I don't believe in my wildest dreams that this is the desire of the Most High, that all of these nations and all the people of the earth have the prosperity as we define it. I think true prosperity is first and foremost having a harmonious relationship with the Most High, trusting in Him to where you don't have the anxieties and the fears that we have in the United States, to where we need to be the number one client for the drug pushers of the world. Number one drug takers. More drugs used in the United States than anywhere in the world. We are the number one client for the drug cartel. Not to mention the types of drugs. I'm not just talking about illegal drugs. I'm talking about antidepressants. Number one users. More alcohol, probably any other country. More drugs, more, and all of this excessive entertainment, which I'm definitely not down on entertainment, but there is something wrong when we need so much excessive, is what I call excessive. You know, Americans is trying to deal with this greed they have, and I know some of y'all are still trying to bounce back from, what do he mean by excessive entertainment? What I mean by that is, I don't think we were made as humans to, we're supposed to have natural entertainment, you know. But all of this amusement, this, and we always got to be constantly entertained 24/7. We got a TV everywhere in our homes, in our stores, in our closets, probably in our bathroom. We always got to be entertained 24/7. It's almost like somebody is trying to make sure that we don't go somewhere and think our own thought, because if we do, we will begin to be, we will wake up to the lies that we live every day. Why do we live for the weekends? Why is there so much stress and anxiety if we have the better life, if we are supposed to be the better nation? This is what I'm saying to everybody. This show is much deeper than I'm caring to go into it. I don't have a whole lot of energy right now. I'm kind of a little tired, as y'all probably can tell. But it's on me very strong. I've been talking about this for a very, very long time, and I'll probably do a part two where I just go deeper into it. But the United States of America is for sure Babylon. In our ways, Babylon. Remember, Babylon was a place of confusion. Gross confusion. You know, what we call success is obviously not what the Most High calls success. What we call wealth is obviously not what the Most High call wealth. The Most High does not want His people, His followers, those that seek His ways and His standards, He does not want them going about pursuing this so-called American dream. But He wants us to pursue His dream. He wants us to pursue what the Scriptures have said. We all are supposed to pursue a harmonious relationship with Him, our neighbor, and yes, even ourselves. We're supposed to be at peace with the Father, all our neighbors, that means everybody on the planet, and ourselves. for sure ourselves. If you're at peace with the Most High, you say, and you're at peace with your neighbor, you say, but you can't forgive yourself or you can't accept yourself or you got issues with yourself, then it's still a part of the problem. We're supposed to be at peace. We're supposed to have forgiven our neighbor for any and everything, no matter who other what other people on this planet have done to us. We've got to walk in forgiveness, not forgetfulness, but forgiveness. And that means forgiving ourselves and forgiving the Father when we think we are big enough to say that we have all against him, which some of us do. So tonight, Brother Seth is just sharing from the kindness of his heart, just different scriptures and ways to look at this prosperity. Again, there are two. One of them is phony. One of them is not the real deal. One of them is phony. One of them is not the real deal. I know I'm repeating a lot of things. It's on purpose, though. So earlier, I typed the show description. Let me just go ahead and read. I know I'm reading it at the very end. But I want everybody to be totally clear of what I'm saying tonight. There's two types of success, one in fast money, the other in real love and true service to our fellow brothers and sisters. I typed this earlier. It said, Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man shall abound with much blessing, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Proverbs 28:22, he that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and consider it not that poverty shall come upon him. Maybe not poverty with money, but poverty in other areas of his life. As I said earlier, we know lots of people that got made to fast money and died with money, but they was destitute in other areas of their life. I went on to type in the show's description, most companies express a false sense of care and other deception and lies to get money or services from millions of their clients or customers. The Most High have already begun judging them and their companies and, yes, even their families for these deeds. The most horrible thing is that many believers actually find haven in these companies, not realizing that some of their hands won't be innocent either. Many managers, supervisors, and lead personnel really think that they will be spared this judgment. They also think being a professional means carrying out these evil company demands, although it means disrespecting and robbing from its employees and their families. And that is so true. I hope you listen to me as not one of those professionals, one of those managers or supervisors or lead personnel that really think that you're going to escape the judgment of the Most High. And you see and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that what they're telling you to do to your subordinates are unjust. Folks, we got to wake up. This is not just another topic, another blog. This is major. This is in the deep fabric of the business world, of the American system. This greed, this success, everybody is talking about it. There are so many people that's pursuing this ungodly, unrighteous, unbalanced, unlevel, totally demonic way of looking at money and prosperity. There's so many scriptures rolling through my mind, and I couldn't write them all down. But, you know, the Bible says in Joshua, I believe, he was talking to Joshua, and he was saying, then you will have good success. I want to find this one real quick. Here we go. All right. Joshua 1:8. This is what I was trying to think of earlier. Check this out, folks. This is a good scripture on success. Joshua 1:8. Let me just read it to you. Write this down. This is a good one. The Most High is talking to Joshua, and he went on to say, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. You got to meditate on it day and night. Meditate on it day and night. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Folks, that's all I've been saying in a nutshell. It's a wonderful way to end this show tonight. Actually, let me give you the other scriptures, and we'll do just that. We'll end the show. But tonight, all I've been trying to say is what I just read in Joshua. And that is, the Most High really does want us to prosper. He really does want us to excel. He's not about failure. You know, he's not about his people begging and being embarrassed, having to even ask the government for assistance, you know, and I've been there. I'm not going to lie. I'm not better than none of y'all. This is how I know so sure that he don't want us there, because I know how it works. He want us to be able to be a blessing to his people. So many believers out there love the Most High, and they just don't know how to live a prosperous life. They don't know how to live they just don't know how to live no kind of life. They just out there, and they need people like you and I. Simple and plain. So what Brother Seth is talking about tonight is the Most High loving us and wanting us to prosper and be in great health. He loves us so much. If I don't get nothing else out to y'all tonight, just know that Brother Seth is all this thing that the Father wants us to excel and to be a true example of prosperity. He does not like the world using bits and pieces of the Bible. You know, I just hate to see books like, y'all remember the book called, what is it called? The Secret. I hate that book, even though I have to admit that The Secret has a lot of good secrets in it. But it's a book that I feel has stolen the very concept of what the Father been trying to tell his people, you know, such as believing in things, how it's going to change and how we're supposed to speak certain things. That's all Bible-based. I hate to see heathens go about and use that and claim that. So all I'm saying tonight, for those of y'all listening, I appreciate those of you in the chat room and on the phone lines, all I'm saying tonight is don't be deceived. There are two roads to success. Both of them will get you a lot of money, but one of them will only get you the money, and you're going to be destitute in the other. Destitute meaning poor. You're going to be lacking in the other. Again, both of them will get you the money. And when money comes, sometimes fame and power comes with it. But one of them added sorrow and poverty, and the other true prosperity. You say, well, how can you have all this money and be poor? Because other areas of your life will go depleted. Saul Brothers said the same. So I can never, ever in a billion years be for poverty, as some people think, because I've been talking about this so long, for so many years, and some friends of mine, they just really think that's what I'm about, poverty. Brother Seth just on that poverty kick. No, I'm not. I vehemently come out against poverty. But I just know that we need some better than what these rappers is offering. We need some better. We need some better. The Most High have some better for us. We don't have to just be beggars. He loves his people, and I know this. So anyway, that's really all I had to say tonight, everybody. I just want to thank everybody for
Stop. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me give you the rest of these scriptures. I think I was almost at the end. Let's see here. Okay, so we stopped at Ecclesiastes 5 and 10. Let me just read briefly the rest of these. This is Ecclesiastes 5, 12 through 14. The sleep of a laboring man is sweat, whether he eat little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail. And he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. That is deep. Let me read that one again. The sleep of a laboring man, this is Ecclesiastes 5, 12 through 14. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail. And he begetteth a son, and there is nothing in his hand. Wow. Ecclesiastes 9 and 11. Ecclesiastes 9 and 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to the man of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to us, to them all. Let me repeat that again. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor riches to the men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to us all. I'd like to read more on that a little later on because that's kind of a unfinished thought. This is a list of scriptures I got out, and I think I should read more of that one. There's more into that thought because we want to know what the solution is. When he says, but time and chance happen to us all, that's not saying, of course, everybody. This is a Solomon, and I know he ain't saying that anybody can get blessings, so that's more to read on that. Isaiah 55, 1 and 2, Isaiah 55, 1 and 2 starts with hope. Everyone that thirsteth, so come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligent to me, and eat ye that which is good, by itself fatness. Obviously, he's talking about the spiritual. One more time, Isaiah 55, 1 and 2. Ho, everyone, it starts off the word ho, H-O, and then a comma. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, cometh ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligent to me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Interesting. Matthew 16:26. We got one more scripture out of this, and we're done. For what profit is he to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? That's a popular one. And the one we've been using almost all night is this one. For the love of money, the love of money, not money itself. Money is not evil in and of itself. It's what you do with this tool. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after,
they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, meekness. One more time, 1 Timothy 6:10-11. This has got to be the most powerful scripture we've read. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. In other words, these intangible things. This is what I've always told my son and daughter. Your goal, you should have one goal. And I know it's going to sound crazy to some of y'all because the world tell you totally different. But I tell my children, you shouldn't have goals that you can see, taste, touch, and smell. Your goals should not consist of things you can Your goals should not consist of things you can see, taste, touch, and smell. Your goals should consist of things that are intangible, like you should pursue faith. You should pursue love. You should pursue temperance. You should pursue meekness. You should pursue kindness. If you have these as your goals and you are successful, there is no way in the world you will not be a prosperous person. It's impossible. People will respond to you. They will remember you. They will put you in places. They will give to you. You will just, I mean, everybody's looking for love. Everybody's looking for a good business. Everybody's looking for a good service. So if you care about people, it's going to drive you and force you into business some kind of way. If you find yourself always serving people, it's impossible for you to go without. So I tell them that. I know some of y'all say, oh, no, but you got to have natural goals. You got to have goals when you want to complete college and when you want to. I begin to tell them like this. Your top goals, actually, and if we woke up Lydia right now and asked her, my daughter, I tell her, your top goals should be intangible. You can have those other goals, but they should be further down the list. Number one should be a harmonious relationship with the Most High. He is real. We are spirits. We were spirits before we got bodies. We were spirits. We are spirits. Anything you can teach, taste, anything you can see, taste, touch, and smell just simply cannot quench the hunger that we have inside of us. This is why we look for it in alcohol, drugs, sex, all these weird things, because we are spirits and we just try to soothe this pain inside of us. We have to have that relationship with the Most High. That's number one. We should pursue that, and we should pursue the things I've just read, meekness, temperance, kindness, what they call the fruit of the Spirit. We should pursue allowing the Spirit of the Most High to use our bodies to live through us, as the scriptures talk about over and over and over again. I'm not being spooky out tonight. I'm not being religious. This is some real deal stuff. We should be pursuing the spiritual, the spiritual, the spiritual, the spiritual, in every which way we can. Our top goal should be spiritual. And then later on, I would say natural, our health. Health should be next. Finances should be at the very bottom. It should be on there, but it's not nowhere near as important as your body. You got to have a body. None of this going to happen. So it's spirit first, because it was first. The spirit was first, and then the body. We was given a body, so we'll take care of this body so we can be on the planet. We are spirit having a relationship, having an experience in a body, not a body having an experience in the spirit. We are spirits having a experience in these things we call bodies. So this is top priority out of everything. What's finances, money, and cars, these things? No. 100,000 years from now, we'll still exist. You've been listening to Brother Seth. This is Five Smooth Stone. This was a special show.
and title. Again, two types of success, one in fast money, the other in real love. I didn't get a chance to share everything I wanted to, but I think I tried. So I just pray and hope that everybody understand that the spiritual is where it's at. Ain't nothing else can compare to the spiritual realm and all of the blessings we can get when we submit to the Most High. That goes for me. I'm not no special person, but that, I mean, I'm special. Of course I'm special, just like you all are. But I'm saying, this ain't no rocket science, folks. Y'all know this stuff I'm saying. The Bible says like this. You have an unction from the Holy Spirit and need not that any man should teach you. I'm just merely reminding you of things you already know. Good night. I love every single one of y'all. Ain't nothing you can do about it. There ain't nothing you can do about it. I don't just say that. I mean that. There ain't nothing you can do about it. I care about people. That don't mean I don't have issues. Y'all, some of y'all know me, and you know I've had issues. But I genuinely do care about humanity, and I really want to see us walk in a way and not be deceived by this money, by this vainness, this thing that's got our people just, and I'm not, when I say our people, I'm talking about humanity. We just got to look better. We got to do better, folks. Somebody got to snap this foolishness. Foolishness. So, anyway, good night. God bless you.
Take us out of the dawn. Man made the bump of a ward, huh? Like the feathered Noah made the ark. This is a man's world. But it would be nothing. Nothing. Without a woman or a girl.
can. Do you know that man makes money? The root of all evil. The buy from every woman and every man. This is a man's world. Going wrong, not loving your fellow man. I want to pray.